Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 90.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. As we've been doing last season and this season as well, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews that we've received from our gorgeous listeners because we just appreciate them so much and we love being able to give people shout outs. This week is from Miriam Suave, who said, "Dear Carly, dear Kelly, you guys do such a great job and I want to thank you so much for your podcast. I'm commuting several hours a day and always grab a coffee for listening to your podcast. For me, I feel understood and your advice empowers me to achieve my goals. At the same time, I feel understood if I'm struggling to do so." How nice is that?
Oh, that's so lovely. And Miriam is from Switzerland. So, and yeah, it feels like in the last 6 months or so, our listenership has really expanded from being mainly Australia and the US to being all over the world. And I think we might have Spotify to thank for that. So, thank you.
I think we do because, like, they were featuring us for a while. I think they might still be, which is great.
Yeah, and that's really lovely. So, yes, thank you to Miriam for letting us know you're listening all the way from Switzerland, and thank you, Spotify. So, yes, on with the show.
So we asked in the Facebook group what kind of stuff you wanted to hear from us this year, and creating good habits was one that came up quite a lot. Let's just start with about talking about habits with Kelly and I. So would you say that you're good at creating and maintaining habits, Kelly?
Yeah. So as probably regular listeners will know, I am pretty good at creating new habits, and I think mostly because I'm that upholder mentality. And if you're a new listener who doesn't know what an upholder is, look up Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies framework. So as with all upholders or most upholders, if I set an expectation for myself, I'm quite driven to meet that expectation. So I'm quite good at creating strategies that help me meet the expectation. And I think this is an interesting distinction because despite all appearances, I'm not a naturally disciplined person. So my brain is basically a squirrel and it's easily bored and distracted. So yeah, I think a lot of people credit me with being quite disciplined and I'm actually not, but I do like setting goals and meeting those goals and expectations that I have for myself. So I've developed strategies over the years to facilitate that happening. And I guess that's what we're, you know, certainly what I'm going to be sharing in the show today. My tips are all around the strategies that they don't come naturally to me. I've just developed those strategies to help me do the things that I want to do, because if it was left to my squirrel brain, I wouldn't do anything. What about you?
Well, that's like the Michelle, that's like the Michelle Bridges thing where everyone says she's so motivated and she says, no, I'm not. The difference between people who don't do things and people who do things is that the people who do things
do them. Yeah.
And yeah, she was like, I lie in bed at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning and not wanting to get out and not wanting to exercise, but I just get on with it and do it. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I feel like I often get credited with having kind of natural tendencies or things that I don't actually have. I've just, yeah, developed ways to figure out how to get where I want. And I think that should be interesting for a lot of people, because an excuse people tend to use is, oh, I'm just not naturally motivated, or I'm not naturally disciplined. I'm not sure anybody is actually naturally motivated or disciplined. But anyway, more on that later.
So I'm pretty good at making and following through with habit setting. I'm a very consistent exerciser and healthy eater. I abstain from alcohol regularly. There are some habits that I'm pretty bad at. Like at the moment, I'm trying really hard to give up dairy because it helps with my period pain. But I really love yogurt and I already eat in such a disciplined way that I get really, really cranky when I can't have a cup of tea with milk in it after dinner. It's so freaking frustrating after a day of eating, you know, little measured portions of chicken with my vegetables and my good fats added and just eating like this consistently for the last 15 years. And then it gets to be bedtime and I'm like, are you serious? I can't have a cup of fucking tea with some milk in it. Like, shoot me now, seriously. So I struggle a lot with that just because I feel really hard done by. And I feel as if A cup of tea with some milk in it just should be a human right.
Yeah, you're like me. I get a bit like that as well with the things I have to be quite disciplined with. And then there's always a line. And obviously your line is with milk in your tea.
It is. And then I bargain with myself and I rationalize it and I go, well, it's not like I'm eating a Mars bar. Yeah. I'm not having a Magnum. I'm having a freaking splash of milk in my tea. Like, makes me so angry. So at the moment, I'm just cutting down rather than abstaining from having dairy. Another thing is that I recently tried using streaks, and this is so weirdly ironic, but I couldn't get into the habit of ticking off the thing that I did. I always did the thing. I just couldn't remember to tick it off.
Oh, that's so funny, because I started using streaks and then I just stopped caring. Like, streaks gives you stars, like literal stars. And we all know how much I love literal gold stars. But yeah, at some place, somewhere along the line, I decided that I just did not care about an app giving me gold stars, and it lost its ability to kind of motivate me and keep me on track. So I had to find other ways. Damn you, streaks. You were.
No, I had the same thing. I was just like, I couldn't be bothered.
It was so good while it lasted. But so going into our tips. So today we're going to share, as we do most weeks, 10 tips around the thing that we're talking about. So Kyle, your first tip around creating good habits
is the longer your list, the less you accomplish. So people chronically overestimate what they have time to do. When your to-do list is long, you become paralyzed by choice and you end up defaulting to easy, mindless things like checking your email. So brains can handle a maximum of 7 things before they get overwhelmed, and that includes everything. So that means remembering that you have a lunch date today, or remembering to move your car, or that meeting that you have this morning, or buying your kids' school shoes, etc. And when you hit that 8th thing, that's when everything falls apart. We've said this so many times before, but you need to focus on just one habit at a time until you have that one nailed, and then move on to something else. So for example, last year, my main focus was losing weight and creating solid eating habits. I've had my exercise habit nailed for years, so I just concentrated on my eating and my fasting and coming up with good methods to make that a sustainable long-term thing that I can do for forever pretty much. And that's why I had success with weight loss last year, was because it was the only thing health-wise that I was concentrating on. I wasn't also trying to add 10,000 steps a day, or, you know, get washboard abs, or, you know, do any of those other things, or get like, what's the new butt trend at the moment? There's a butt trend.
I miss the butt trend. I have been offline a little bit in the last 2 weeks, so maybe that's why. Is this a Kardashian thing?
I think it's a shelf butt, where you can like, where if you stick your butt out, you can like hold things on your bum, because it's so, you've done so many squats that it's so pert that you can like balance a can of Coke on it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So not that I want that, but I'm just saying that there's things that like goals that people have that they want that particular thing. And because I wasn't clouding up my whole year with all of these unattainable health goals, it was my only goal was I just wanted to lose weight.
Yeah.
And I focused on that and achieved it.
Totally. Well, that one of my tips is kind of along that line as well. So I'm going to go into it, and it's, you know, it's basically, you know, do one habit at a time. And the reason I wanted to kind of double up on what you were saying was our natural inclination is to let things get really, really, really bad, and then throw our hands in the air and go, something needs to change. And then we try to change everything all at once. And what we kind of forget is change takes so much energy. So it's not just habit, you know, habit formation is a form of change. Change takes a huge amount of concentration and energy. And when we try and change everything at once, we're basically setting ourselves up for failure. And what happens is everyone goes hell for leather for like a week. And then it's so hard and they're so tired and they have one little lapse, and then they go, okay, I'm too tired to do this now. I'm not going to do it at all. So that's why it's so important to do one change at a time, because if you try to change every single thing in your life all at once, you're just not going to be able to do it. You're going to think you're a total failure. All of us have stories we tell ourselves about ourselves, like, I'm not the kind of person that can do X, or I'll never be the kind of person that does Y. The reason those stories perpetuate is because we do keep putting ourselves in a situation where we're trying to change everything at once, and then it makes it easy to keep that story going. So a fast way to change the story about yourself is to do that one habit change at a time. And what it does, what I've found anyway, is it creates a kind of success momentum. So when you do make that like one change and you maintain that one change for a while, it gives you the confidence to tackle the next change, and then you get to start building on your habits. And that's what you've done, Carl. So you made the change to your exercise habit, and then that became fairly locked down. And then when you then layered on top of that your new eating habit, then you kind of got double the benefit. And but you were only able to do that because you did one thing at a time. And I just think it's really important to almost labor that point a bit, because it's really one of-
It's also important to not rush it as well, because my exercise habit took, I think, maybe half my life to lock down properly. I was a PE avoider in high school. I was an overweight kid in high school and didn't really enjoy moving that much. I always did dancing and that kind of thing, but I was always the type of kid who woke up on a Saturday and I never wanted to go outside. I wanted to sit down and read a book or watch TV or do some sort of craft. I always favored sedentary activities, and I just trained myself out of that. I just constantly just moved and moved and moved, and I have exercised on purpose properly 5 times a week since I was about 16.
And you're that person now. You're like, you are the
I am.
You are a person that exercises 6 times a week, and that's your story now. And you maintain that story. So, you know, just as easily as we can maintain poor stories, we can also maintain good stories. But it's setting that groundwork and just, you know, showing up all the time. And I think also people
– and you can rewrite your story as
well. Yeah, and people underestimate the importance of just simply showing up, because it some – a thing that I used to do quite badly with exercises is like, if I can't go for at least an 8K run, then I'm not going at all. That's silly. Like, we got to just do what we can with what we've got at that moment in time and just show up. And then it's in the showing up that allows us to keep that story going. So, yes, that was a long-winded way of saying what I wanted to say. But your second tip, Carl?
My second tip is to put a time and place on your habits. So you're 2 to 3 times as likely to do something if you decide when and where you'll do it. This has been demonstrated in over 100 behavior studies, and I've got a link to that that we can share in the show notes. But it is important to note the difference between when a task is due for completion versus when there's a time scheduled to actually perform the activities required to complete the task. So I'm not saying that you put a note in your diary to complete the task by a certain time. You map out 2 hours in your diary in order to complete that task. Yep. Because if you don't put a time limit on how long you're going to do the task for, it's just a thing that you can skip in your day. But if you've scheduled it, because we mentioned this last episode, scheduling is so important. So I've recommended long day heaps and heaps of times, and it's awesome. But I'm actually even more excited about there's a new app coming out called Actions, which is the new product that my partner has been working on with Moleskine. I don't know if any of our readers know this, but Ben is an app developer, and he's got a digital partnership with Moleskine, the notebooks, and he made their calendar app called TimePage, which is great, and I've been using it for years and years.
And it's beautiful, but by the way. I've got it, and it's just the most beautiful calendar app I've ever come across, so yes.
Oh, that's so nice. I love it. And I've recommended it to people and they love it and keep using it years later. And this isn't a paid promotion. They haven't asked me to mention it. It's just I've been using the beta version of Actions for like a year and I can't wait to recommend it to people. And it's going to be out on the 14th of Feb this year. And it's basically a to-do list that integrates with your calendar. So when you put a to-do list item in Actions, it automatically pops it into the Moleskine calendar. You're going to love it, Kelly.
Bring it on.
You're going to love it so hard.
Cool.
So if you're a fan of Long Day app, or if you want to experiment with scheduling, and it's the 14th of Feb, I'm not quite sure when this episode will go out, but if it's the 14th of Feb, Actions will be available, and I actually just think it's going to be a game changer.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to that. So my second tip is it's important to understand how habits are formed, because when you understand how habits are formed, you get to understanding why it's so easy to form a poor habit and much, much harder to form a good habit. So a habit loop is cue, routine, reward. So as an example, a typical cue is the 3 p.m. hunger slump that we all tend to feel, you know, that 3 p.m. slump, the routine that typically triggers is we walk to the fridge, and then the reward is there's something sugary and yummy in the fridge and we eat it. So you know that a habit is ingrained when you just need the cue and it triggers a craving for the reward, and you don't need the routine bit anymore, like just simply the cue. Like, for instance, you hit that 3 p.m. slump and you can basically taste how yummy that cupcake is before you've left your desk. That's when you know a habit is really ingrained. And that's why it's very easy for bad habits to become ingrained, because they produce like an immediate reward even before you've had the thing. Good habits, the reward is seldom immediate in that way. So you're not, you know, when I lace up my shoes, you know, that, you know, that my cue might be it's 6 o'clock in the morning. My routine might be lace up my shoes and head out the door for my run. And then, where's my reward? My reward is like miles away. It's not immediately when I finish my run. I do feel good, but the reward of, you know, having a daily exercise habit is not as pronounced as eating a delicious cupcake. So if you're ever wondering why that daily exercise habit isn't truly an ingrained habit, and it's something that you kind of have to kind of intentionally show up and do every single day, it never becomes a mindless thing, that's why. And if you understand that, and you understand that pretty much no one is just mindlessly turning up and doing their daily run or their daily swim or whatever, or they're not just mindlessly eating great food, it's not easy for anyone to do those things. So if it's not easy for you, you're not alone. And I think that a lot of people, yeah, they look at other people, you know, so people look at me and go, it's easy for you, you've always exercised. Well, it's easy for me because I've created great routines around it, but I can fall out of an exercise habit as fast as the next person. So for instance, I haven't been able to run for 3 weeks currently because I've done my knee. When my knee is better, I have to now re-engineer that exercise habit because I've created a whole bunch of new routines around the fact that I can't exercise at the moment. So yeah, if you understand how habits are formed, it becomes easier to create good habits. And if you understand that ingraining great habits is actually very, very difficult or impossible, you will lower your expectations with regard to forming those habits. So yeah.
So my third tip is to remind yourself. Honestly, do whatever you need to do to remind yourself to complete a task. Think notes on the fridge, reminders on your phone, alarms, anything. I cannot tell you how many times I decided I was going to do something and then completely forgot I was even doing it. Has anyone ever gone on a diet on a Monday and said, oh, I'm not going to eat anything with sugar in it? And then 20 seconds later, you get to work and someone offers you a biscuit and you're eating it before you even realize that you're not supposed to be eating sugar that day. Does that happen to anyone else?
Yeah,
you just forget?
Yeah. It happens to everyone.
So this is where accountability groups or challenges are really good as well, because often there will be in a Facebook group and you'll get daily prompts and reminders, and people will be in there chatting about whatever it is, the challenge that you're doing, and it will remind you that you're not supposed to be doing a certain thing. I did it like this week, seriously. I started doing the F45 challenge again, and because I fast and I've been eating a high fat, low carb, I haven't really been following the meal plan exactly the way I should, because what I've been doing is working. So why would I change?
Yeah.
But I knew that in the first 2 weeks I wasn't supposed to eat red meat, and I was thinking, oh, I can go without red meat for 2 weeks. Yeah, that's totally fine. I'll do that. Totally forgot 2 days into the challenge. I ate a bunless burger at the pub on Tuesday night, and I'm eating it. And then I was just like, and I just looked at Ben and like my eyes just went wide, and I had this big mouthful of beef burger, and I was going, Ben, I wasn't supposed to eat red meat this week. And he was like, well, you fucked it up, didn't you?
Start so again tomorrow.
Yep, just clean forgot. So I've stuck notes all around the house to remind myself. And I don't eat a lot of red meat because I try to keep it low, because I read this really scary study that if you eat more than 300 grams of red meat per week, it practically doubles your risk of getting, what's the bum cancer that girls can get as well as guys?
Bowel cancer,
that one. I was going, it's prostate, but I'm like, no, women don't have prostate. So I was like, it's the other one. Oh my God, I just sounded like such an idiot then. Like, what's the bum cancer that women can get as well? Yeah, so that bum cancer you get if you have too much red meat. So that creeped me out because 300 grams of red meat is not much in a week.
And I'm kind of going la, 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 because I really love red meat and I eat quite a bit of it and I definitely eat more than 300 grams a week. So I'm definitely setting myself up for bum cancer. So this is going to be hashtag bum cancer. Oh, God. My third tip is to set your environment up to facilitate success. And this is easily one of the most powerful ways to create good new habits. So if you're trying to create a new habit where you get up half an hour early and you exercise every morning, but your evenings are a complete shambles and they prevent you from getting to bed at the time you want, then you're not going to be able to form that habit and you're not setting your environment up for success. So, you know, if you need to go hunting around in the morning for your running gear before you can go for your run, again, it's going to be easy to go back to bed. If you're trying to eat more healthily and your fridge and pantry are full of sweet treats that are constantly calling your name and forcing you to exercise willpower. So basically anything that where you have to exercise willpower can be erased just by setting up your environment better. So anytime you have to use or call on willpower, you're making life much, much harder for yourself than it needs to be. So start taking notice of the things in your environment and in your life that are sabotaging you and do something about them. And you know, people are probably the biggest thing in your environment that sabotage you. So, you know, you might be trying to quit smoking and you know, all your friends smoke. So they're like, come on, just one, you know, what's one going to do? Or, you know, you might be trying to give up alcohol for a month and you're at the pub and everyone's like, just one. So just remember, people are probably the biggest saboteurs. I didn't even know how you say that. You know the word I'm talking about.
I think it's saboteur.
Saboteur, yes.
I think you just said it.
Sabotages. Great. Yeah.
Sabotageries.
We're sorry, guys. We're completely losing it. but yes, yeah, people are probably the biggest enemy you have towards creating good habits. So, and they're a large part of your environment. So have a look at the things in your environment. You know, it might be, you know, even things like creating a good sleep habit. If your home office is in your bedroom or if you have a computer screen on at night, that's an environmental challenge to you being able to get good sleep. So check out your environment, set it up to facilitate success rather than failure.
I'm going to skip to my five and then come back to my four because my five works in a bit better with one that you just said. So the most important thing when it comes to forming good habits is lowering your barriers. This is the same as the willpower thing that Kelly was talking about before. So our tolerance for barriers when it comes to completing a task, they're so ridiculously low. I'm surprised anyone ever gets anything done. So if you're serious about forming good habits, you need to be so meticulous in your preparation. When we give the advice for people to do things like laying out your gym clothes, I mean lay out everything right down to your socks, because if you're looking for an excuse to not go to the gym in the morning, not being able to find socks is a brilliant excuse. Can't go to the gym if you're not wearing socks. Like, that would just be uncomfortable and sweaty and horrible. So don't do 90% of your preparation because you'll have that 10% left to play with. And believe me,
you'll use it.
It's the same with, like, if you're meal planning, don't make half meals like curry and then promise yourself you'll make rice during the week, because if you hate cooking, you're just not going to do that. So when you plan properly and remove any possible barriers you can, because you will self-sabotage. And even as an upholder, I'm a big self-sabotager. I set myself up for failure quite often. I'll be like, oh, maybe if I just only do a little bit of this thing, and then I'll be like, I trust myself to do the rest of it and I know I'm not going to do it. So it's all in the preparation, and you're in a much better place when you're in the preparation mode of completing a task than when you're in the completion mode of completing a task. So take advantage of your better frame of mind and set your future self up for success.
Yes, and actually that is one of my tips, is to check in with your future self, because your present self is really only into instant gratification. So your present self would much rather eat the cake or lie on the couch or surf on Facebook. And so it's kind of in those moments when I'm trying, you know, when I get into a little debate with myself about making a good decision about something, and I'm starting to exploit loopholes, because we're very, very good at finding loopholes and negotiating with ourselves to make a poor decision. So I try to break that cycle by asking, look, what would my future self like me to do here? And I found that making a decision that pleases my future self, it kind of gives me a little instant reward, even when the reward isn't so instant, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So my number four, which is now my number five, which you guys don't even need to know that I've...
But we have notes and we feel obliged to let you know when we stray from them because that's who we are.
And I mean, basically, we just really want to be honest with you guys. I just don't want anyone to feel like we're taking you for a ride. So even though I'm reading this one last, it was my number four. If you don't believe you can do it, you probably won't. So I've got some mates that follow this style of parenting, which I can't remember the name of. I know I do that all the time when I hear a cool thing and I only remember the actual cool thing and not what it's called. So no one can ever look it up. So it's a weird parenting style. And there's a hack that they call positive momentum, where if a child is being really stubborn, the parent would just go, oh no, did your leg stop working? Here's some magic potion to get them working again. Oh, look at that dog. Let's go smell those flowers. And you just kind of grab the kid and hustle them along. I don't know how effective that is. I imagine your little rebel wouldn't
just punch me if I ever try that, because I would punch myself. Yeah, sorry. I know this would work well for other people, but I would not be able to execute that with a straight face. I would just be like, Mia would just be looking at me going, really, Mum? And I would just look at her and go, yeah, I know. I don't even know what I was thinking trying that on you. Just
imagining it. I don't like, because I'm not a parent, so I don't know how it works as an actual parenting hack. But I quite liked it because I thought it was good for adults who self-sabotage. So if you sit there all grumpy about having to exercise or eat a salad or, you know, practice your singing or your, who was that? Oh, sorry, I'm just totally getting off track again. But there was an amazing reader who popped into the Facebook group and got home and wanted to sit on the couch. And then she thought, what would Carly do? And then she went through this whole list of things that she did. And she said, so I tuned my harp. And I was like, that's the greatest to-do list item ever. Like, she tuned her harp. This is like the coolest to-do list item ever. Anyway, that just reminded me of her. So if you want to, practice your harp or your singing or whatever, you're going to make it so much harder for yourself if you have a really bad attitude about it. So for instance, if one of your things that you need to do this week is meal prep, make it really fun. So save your favorite podcasts and listen to them while you cook in the kitchen. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do on a Sunday. I've been binging on the Guilty Feminist podcast. If anyone has listened to that, it is hilarious. It's one of those things that I've had, I'd say 10 people recommend to me before, and I've gone, oh yeah, yeah, I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it. And I finally have, and it's spectacular. It's so funny. I laugh constantly, and I save all of the episodes that pop up, and I listen to them all while I do my meal prep on a Sunday. So just remember that your own self-talk is so powerful. And if you start trying to develop a good habit with the attitude of, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, then you definitely won't be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of it comes back to the stories we tell ourselves. We buy completely into the stories we tell ourselves. So if we tell ourselves a better story and buy into that, then we're kind of halfway there. My third.
We're good at numbers, guys.
My fifth tip is to focus on keystone habits, or prioritize keystone habits. And these are habits that facilitate or provide a good foundation for other good habits. So for instance, I was talking to a friend the other day where she mentioned that not drinking every night, which is what she had kind of gotten in the habit of doing, just having that glass of wine every afternoon when she finished work while she made dinner. And she was trying to lose weight and just be healthier so she could cut out alcohol for a month. So she found that cutting out alcohol for a month meant that her sleep habits were better. So instead of just being all, zoned out on the couch watching Netflix, she was like, no, I'm going to go to sleep now. And because she slept better, then she was better able to get up in the morning and do exercise. And because she was exercising every day, she just felt compelled to eat better because it just felt right. So there are these keystone habits, and sleep, diet, and exercise are three major keystone habits that they just naturally facilitate and feed into having better habits overall. So yeah, if you're kind of trying to figure out, all right, I want to make 7 changes, which should I start first? Kind of start with one of those keystone habits, because doing those and getting in the groove of those will make other habits much, much easier to form. So, yes.
I love that. And I think that just about wraps us up for today. Also, don't forget that we do have a book available for sale. It's about diets and lifestyle detoxes. Lifestyle detoxes, we're not talking like drinking cayenne pepper and lemon and stuff. It's things like giving up coffee and what other things are in there, Kel?
Going screen free.
Going screen free, yeah.
Yeah, that was not fun. Remember that? We have to redo that challenge and take everyone on for the ride with us. And you also have to redo it when you're not at the farm for a weekend. But anyway.
I don't want to do it in real life, Kelly. That's mean. So if you are keen to buy our book, you can get it at straightandcurly.com and just click on the book tab. We also finally got around to setting up our Patreon page, which is up and going, which is awesome. Our audience is growing every week, and we've been getting some lovely patrons for our show.
Yeah, so we do have two main goals for our Patreon page. So the first is to get to $500 a month, and what that will do is just cover the production costs of the show, because it does cost us to produce the show. And we only need 125 people to pledge $4 a month, and we've got that covered, and we're about a quarter of the way there now. So if you are keen to help us with that, you can pledge any amount you like at patreon.com/straightandcurly. And our second goal is to get 1,000 people to pledge. And when that happens, we can start expanding the show a little bit. We can get in guest experts. We can start doing live shows, which would be amazing. But, you know, let's start with baby steps. Let's try and just cover the production costs of the show for now.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons. We've got Kristen, David, and Jane. Seeing those pledges come through over our break was just amazing, because there was no new content going out and these pledges were still coming in, and we'd only mentioned it 3 times towards the end of last year. So it's just incredible seeing those come through, and we really, really appreciate your support. The only issue is that my next job is to figure out how to get the money out of Patreon, because it's sitting there and I don't know how to do that. But that's tomorrow Carly's problem.
Yes, I've happily hand ball that one to you. So our challenge for the week, if you would like a challenge, is to identify a habit that you want to create, and then come and share with us in the Facebook group how you're going to set your environment up to facilitate the creation of that habit. So we'll see you in there, and we'll also see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.